doesn't scare you. 1 John 1 verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And as the Prezi say, may the Lord add his blessing to this reading. Jesus, come and speak your words, because mine aren't that great. But I pray that you would be here and that you would shed your light for all of us. What do you think walking in the light means? I'm going to shamelessly borrow from Mick here and say, talk to your neighbour about that, because I love those. What is walking in the light? I often think of walking in the light only in the sense of confessing our sins to each other. But if you think about it, light reveals much more than just our sins and weaknesses. It must also be about being who we really are, in ourselves and in relationship, living with our feelings on the outside and being honest about the things that touch and move us. Kids talk about what they care about. I've got 4 small children, so I get to hear quite a few preschool conversations. And small children are often pretty open about the things that excite them, the things that frighten them, the things they enjoy, and the things that move them, whether anyone else feels the same or not. How many adult conversations convey this level of passion and openness? We don't all like the same things. We love, enjoy, fear, and are moved by different things. But sometimes we tend to only express enthusiasm over safe, acceptable topics, like sport and MasterChef. But here is my confession, not of sin, but of some of the things that move me. I'm not that keen on spiders. I'm a tiny bit scared of the dark. I'm very scared of looking foolish or of being required to dance. I'm much more afraid than I like to admit of walking on steep slopes, and I'm starkly terrified of ever being asked to play touch rugby. Broken relationships break my heart. And I love big words and peanut butter chocolate chip cookies and funny cat videos. How uncool is that? I love vegetables, the growing, the cooking, and the eating. I love moving stories about fathers and sons, and choral music, and making up funny words, and sharing poetry. You are probably a bit different to me. What do you like? What moves you? Talk to the person next to you again. What do you like? What moves you? So why then, I wonder, if we're all so different, do we have the sport and MasterChef phenomenon? I think there are a couple of things that make us shy of being who we were created to be, uniquely designed for different tasks and functions. One is plain and simple fitting in. It's tempting to choose our likes and dislikes with one eye on what other people like and dislike. To read the important books, to hang out with the best people, to like the right food, jumping on the bandwagon of the popular, acceptable or easy. Another reason, I think, and I'm sure many of you would agree, is that we suffer from a cultural disease here in New Zealand that equates passion with weakness. If you're enthusiastic about anything other than the All Blacks, you show others the way to your heart. If you show what you love, you make yourself vulnerable. If you're able to be moved by something, you reveal the shape of your heart in such a way that others could exploit it. So we hide our passions. We show enthusiasm for nothing outside the accepted range of passions. Remember sport and MasterChef. But that eventually erodes our own passions. And the less we allow ourselves to show them, the less we allow ourselves to experience them. And we end up less passionate about them. We end up less able to be moved by anything, good or bad. Do we somehow end up less human? Jesus was not apathetic. He wasn't cool. He wept at Lazarus's tomb. He wept over his disciples and over Jerusalem. He was moved by suffering, physical and emotional. He got angry about spiritual and social abuse. He was angry about hypocrisy. He was frustrated by people's unbelief and their hardness of heart. He was frustrated by his disciples' thick skulls. He didn't hide all this away and pretend not to feel. He let it out. And since he is our example, we should too. So how can we walk in the light? How can we break the mold of same-same and not become cookie-cutter Christians? The knowledge that makes it possible is, my Father is very fond of me. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, consider the incredible love that the Father has shown us in allowing us to be called children of God. And that is not just what we are called, but what we are. Isn't that a fabulous verse? That is not just what we are called, but what we are. Knowing that God loves us enough to call us his children, we can be who we were designed to be. But why does it matter? A very clever lady called Barbara Irokina, whose name I'm not even sure how to say, but who writes great articles for Power to Change, Barbara Irokina, puts it like this. We cannot feel loved for who we really are as long as we are not known as we really are. At the same time, we fear that if we expose our true selves, we will be rejected. This frustrating cycle keeps our real selves masked and our relationships shallow and unfulfilling. Or to put it another way, if no one is letting on about what they really care about, then we are just a bunch of masks pretending to connect. So walking in the light is good for us as individuals. It lets us connect. But also, each of us being more in touch with what warms our hearts or chills our blood gives us greater scope to express and explore the huge wonder of God. There are so many different ways of being passionate, all individual, all so beautiful. And there are so few ways of being chillaxed. Resh made me put that in. Boring. Our individual passions are part of who God made us. When we express and enjoy them, we show something of the character of the creative God who designed each one of us. If the fullness and wonder of God could be expressed by just one standard stamp, cookie cutter Christian, what a small God we must have. But we don't. We have a massive, awe-inspiring, amazing, enormous, glorious, beautiful God. And we are all different because each of us, made in the image of God, carries our own tiny shard of the whole picture. And all of these together give us a dim, refracted image of who he is. But not if we keep making ourselves all the same. When we walk in the light, we stop hiding from ourselves and others what we like and what we love. We let ourselves be enthusiastic. My 7-year-old daughter, Abby, is absolutely passionate about animals, all creatures, great and small. She is never happier than when cuddling a cat or a dog or a rabbit or a horse or a sheep or a chicken. Her compassion for the lonely, the lost, and the hurting, even if they are animals, is part of the beautiful way that God made her. One day, Abby may realize that not everyone is as moved by the plight of a stray kitten as she is. If that leads her to hide that passion and then to suppress it and to starve it, then I think that part of the kaleidoscope of God's loveliness would disappear from our view. Well, my 5-year-old Benaiah dances wherever he goes. You may have seen him. Some other people walk sometimes. If being like them becomes more important to him than the free expression of the self God gave him, and he stops dancing, I think we'll lose something. A little sliver of the beauty and energy of God, which it's Benny's role to shine, would be harder to see. So walking in the light means letting go of fear, letting go of doubt, letting go of the desire to be the same, to be safe. In being yourself, you let God display the piece of his artistry that he has given just to you. Please know that I am not saying you have to go and dye your hair blue and stop listening to Taylor Swift or shopping at Glassons and start living on locusts and wild honey just to be different. My point isn't to manufacture difference or to be anti-fashion. It's to be who you are without reference to whether that's how other people are or not. But there's an even bigger reason to walk in the light and be ourselves. If we are a church full of gingerbread men, cookies cut out with a standard cutter, iced the same, 3 red M&M buttons, all the same, how can anyone else come in? How can someone else enter who has different icing or who doesn't have the same cutter? I think this is one of the great barriers to church. People outside can feel like we are all the same. And if they aren't the same, they can't be one of us. But if instead we are a motley collection of uncool people with a variety of passions, then maybe there's room for other miscellaneous people too. Walking in the light and in being yourself is not something to do only for your own enjoyment. In fact, it's often very uncomfortable. It's actually a gift and a service to others. For one thing, the energy and attention that we waste on conforming is diverted from fixing our eyes on Jesus. And it's also diverted from noticing and serving the people around us. For another thing, cookie-cutterizing ourselves in order to fit in just creates a climate that pressures others to fit in too. Whereas taking the risk of being ourselves, being open about our fears, our joys, and our desires gives others the freedom to do likewise. If we are known, we can be loved. If we make a place where others can make themselves known, then we can love them too. If we're focused on trying to make sure our icing is the right shade and we've got our M&M buttons on right, we've got no ability to help the next gingerbread man whose buttons are falling off, who's only half iced, you know, who's had a chunk bitten out of one of his legs. That gingerbread man, in fact, is not even going to come into our building because he or she can see for sure that they're not up to the standard of this bakery. We probably wouldn't be interested in helping them out, let alone learning anything from them, they would think. So let's stop trying to make sure our icing is right and start finding out what makes that other gingerbread man tick so that we can both serve and be served by him. So then, when somebody accidentally reveals something they care about, we have two options. We can jokingly let them know they've let something slip, warning them to retreat into the established role. Or we can open the door, ask questions, find out, and open ourselves too, let out what we care about. Not only is this fun and far more interesting than sameness, it's also part of establishing a family in which God's bigness is welcomed and celebrated. According to the verse, it's not being the same that unites us. It's walking in the light. Remember? If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And we can be of service to each other and to those who haven't yet joined us. In the end, being yourself is not just for you. It's so you can serve the next person. So why walk in the light? So that we, real people, neither masks nor gingerbread men, can reflect the glory of a God much bigger than any single one of us, to each other and to the other non-gingerbread men outside these walls. So for a first wee little baby step, some of you will be doing this all the time, some of you may hardly ever do this, but this week, can you do something you love and then tell someone about it, someone who doesn't already know, and trust that the one who made you did so with a reason, a purpose, and a plan? Jonathan Keck, who writes for a blog called Theology 21, says, "And since the body of Christ is so diverse, as it should be, you and I should never feel the compulsion to conform to any particular vision of what a cookie-cutter Christian should look like. There is only one to whom we should conform our lives, minds, behaviors, and desires, Jesus Christ. So be Christ-like as you live out who God made you to be."